If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. And so as we have been working through this book on Sunday evenings, we're about a year and a half in, and so we're about halfway through the book. And so here at Matthew 15, we're going to look at verses 1 through 20. As Jesus here continues his teaching ministry, it's going on over and over. He's having opportunities to interact with different individuals. Here he's confronted by a group of Pharisees that are quite frustrated with what he is allowing his disciples to do. They were not following the teaching of the Pharisees, not the teaching of God's word, the teaching of the Pharisees. And so they had a problem with that. It's one specific area that they're highly offended by. And so they point that out to Jesus. And of course, Jesus responds like he always does wonderfully. And we'll see he even responds by pointing them to God's word. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the passage if you want to follow along. So it's Matthew 15, starting in verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can study your word. Lord, we thank you that it is trustworthy. Lord, we thank you for even the example that we see here. When Jesus is confronted about something, he points to your word. Even though he is God, he gave us a lesson here in pointing back to your word. And Lord, we ask that you would help us as we go throughout life, as we interact with others. Lord, there's times when people are going to say things and they're convinced that they are right. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to look at what your word says. Help us to know your word, and help us to go back to your word as absolute truth. Lord, we ask that you would help us to see your word as taking precedence in our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do through this time. In Christ's name, amen. So I want to give you a list here. This is a list I found online, and it's just 5 of a top 10 list that I found. And then at the end, I'll tell you what the list is about. So the first one, God helps those who help themselves. Sure, we've heard that. Next one, cleanliness is next to godliness. 3, God forgives those who forgive themselves. 4, money is the root of all evil. And 5, charity begins at home. I would venture to say that most of those, as I started reading, you could finish them because they are so familiar. We've heard them all. Well, this is a top 10 list of statements assumed to be in Scripture that are not. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if anybody thought any of those were in Scripture. Because sometimes we can come across things like that, and, well, that sounds like something we'd read in the Bible, doesn't it? And we wrestle with that sometimes. And even here we see in this passage, the cleanliness is next to godliness kind of almost comes out with the Pharisees here saying, you have to wash your hands before you eat. And so that type of thing is very prevalent. In this passage, we see the Pharisees who had a list of thousands of additional beliefs that they elevated to the level of God's word, and the people would not have known any better because they didn't have a copy of God's word, and even if they did, they couldn't read it usually. And so for the Pharisees to say, this is important, this is what you have to listen to, basically saying this is what God wants you to do, they had no clue whether that was true or not. And so they just went along with it. And then comes Jesus. And he's like, I know. He knows better. And so he confronts them here. And so it's very important for us to understand what it is God's word says. And so we see verses 1 to 9 here of our text. Jesus teaches the importance of humility. He teaches the importance of humility. Again, here, he's being confronted by some Pharisees. They did not like that he had a following, and they definitely did not like that he was allowing his disciples to do things that they said were wrong. Jesus addressed them by teaching them the importance of humbling themselves to the teaching of the Word of God and not the teaching of man. And so there, verses 1 and 2, the Pharisees are concerned about hand washing. That's what they're getting worked up about. And we probably look at that and say, well, it's really not a big deal, is it? But that's what they're concerned about. Now, they're seeing something here, and that's what they want to jump on. And so as this chapter starts, we're told of the Pharisees and scribes, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Now, this is the first time in Matthew's gospel that religious leaders confronting Jesus are specifically, at least we're told, specifically from Jerusalem. He had a lot of run-ins with different various religious leaders. But now there are ones coming from Jerusalem to address their issues with him. Of course, the religious center for the Jews is Jerusalem. And so this is a big deal. These would be the religious leaders, really, that carried the most authority. Others had attempted to stop Jesus, or at least try to slow down his ministry, but to no avail. Now we might say they're bringing in the big guns to deal with him. We're going to bring in the big guys, and they're going to deal with Jesus. These were ones that just came to see Jesus, or not ones that just came to see him while he was in town like so many of the others. They traveled quite a distance to confront him. And so this must have been some type of official delegation on behalf of the Sanhedrin. This is basically a group of officials from headquarters coming to check and see what this guy they call Jesus is doing in Galilee. In verse 2, we see their complaint. Jesus' disciples were breaking the tradition of the elders. The specific example given is that they were not washing their hands before they ate. They were using almost a roundabout way to confront Jesus here because they're questioning as to why his disciples were breaking the tradition of the elders. Instead of talking with his disciples, They go to him and kind of work around him with this supposed problem. The understanding is that Jesus was allowing them to do this. And so they said, we're going to go after the one that is teaching them, and hopefully we can correct him and by that way correct them. Now, in Luke's gospel account, we have a time in which Jesus, too, did not wash his hands before eating. And so that's helpful to keep in mind. I'm sure these Pharisees understood that as well. Luke 11, 37 to 40, it says, while Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see what he did, that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? And so, of course, Jesus didn't back down in that situation either. So now let's consider the idea of the tradition of the elders. This would be the elders' specific applications based on the law of Moses. So they compiled a list, thousands of man-made rules that all Jews were expected to follow. They were often burdensome and at times went against the original intent of the law. For most of us, we would probably not classify this rule of hand washing as a tradition of the elders, but the command of mom, right? Before you eat, mom says you need to wash your hands. And I was just looking over these notes, and it wasn't for a meal, but just getting ready for after dinner at home. We have summer sausage we usually do on Sunday evening, and Tammy tells one of the kids to go ahead and cut that up, but says, before you do, wash your hands. And never got to it. The hands were really, really dirty. I won't tell you which kid and why, but you can figure that out on your own. Obviously, we don't want dirt in our food, right? And so it's a okay rule, but they were elevating it to a totally different position. And so in this context, the washing was really not so much about hygiene, but rather the specific procedure so they would be ritually clean. It was just one of the thousands of traditions that they had, but they were just traditions. But then we ask, where do these traditions come from? Well, they're handed down from one generation to the next, supposedly originating with Moses. And so these Jews would say, well, this is coming from Moses. He's the one that gave us these. And so that would be their understanding, and they're passed down by the elders all throughout the history of the Jews. Eventually, this oral law was written down in what is known as the Mishnah. And so at this point where Jesus is addressing these Pharisees, this would have actually been written down. Again, the average person probably wouldn't have a copy of it, nor would they be able to read it. Over time, this oral law, these traditions, became more important than the written law of Moses. And so with time, what's really probably being preached in the synagogues is the Mishnah, these traditions, not actually God's word. This can easily be an issue for us as well. We develop a specific application based on a scriptural truth, but if we don't teach the text, we don't teach the scriptural basis to the next generation, the application becomes more important than the actual teaching of Scripture. And so we need to make sure, while application is great, we want to offer some of that, more importantly is teach the text of Scripture. And so then they can make application based on it. It's important for us to know the truths of Scripture. And that's how Jesus is going to address the Pharisees here. One commentator said this, "We tend to put great stock in our traditions. Unfortunately, many of them are far removed from the teachings of Scripture." And so we have to be very, very careful. There's nothing wrong with traditions, but they cannot usurp authority of Scripture. And then verses 3 through 6, the Word of God teaches us to honor our parents. And so Jesus here responds to their accusation with one of his own. And so this is always fun when Jesus kind of traps them and comes back at them with God's word. So he questions them as to why they would break clear biblical teaching in order to be able to follow their tradition. At this point, they must have been wondering, okay, what commandment of God they're breaking? They likely took offense even at the notion that they were somehow breaking one of God's commandments. So Jesus points out the exact commandment that he's referring to. That's the fifth one, of honor your father and mother. This commandment is found in both Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. He then adds the punishment that would come to the one that does not actually honor his father and mother, and that is they would surely die. And so that teaching as well is found in Exodus 21:17. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death, a very similar passage in Leviticus 20 and verse 9. So with the prescribed punishment of death, the seriousness of this command really comes through. With that being the case, the question then comes up as to in what way were they dishonoring their parents? And so Jesus goes into verses 5 and 6 to describe how it is they're encouraging this sin. In verse 4, Jesus said, God commanded. And now to start verse 5, he says, but you say. And so a difference, obviously. What these Pharisees were teaching was contrary to the teaching of God, and that's a problem. It does not matter what we try to justify, it's never appropriate to say something contrary to the Word of God. And so that's what they were teaching. And Jesus knows this, and so he's going to confront it. And so what he describes here, it may seem a little foreign to us. So further explanation, I think, is going to be helpful, at least for some who aren't familiar with it. So a tradition had developed of people taking some of their various resources and dedicating them to God, or basically setting them aside as to belonging to God and to use at the temple once they passed away. Now, that's not necessarily bad, is it? No? But in the meantime, while they were still living, they had access to said resources and could use them for their normal expenses of life. This practice was called korban, or under the ban. Now, under this ban, the resources were not available to help aging parents. And so basically what it comes down to is it's an attempted loophole to get out of caring for or honoring one's parents. And so in these situations, an adult child would say to their aging parents that were in need, sorry, but what I have is dedicated to the Lord, so I can't help you. So you're on your own. And so that was the mentality, and somehow they set that up, and they said, this is great, because we cannot take care of our parents, and we have these resources we can use for ourselves, and you know, if we die, then so be it, it'll go to the temple, and we're good. And so that was their mentality. It had become a very popular tradition that was encouraged by the Pharisees to get out of the responsibility of caring for one's parents. And Jesus said this tradition is an attempt at voiding the clear word of God. You're trying to basically say you don't need to honor your parents. And so they selfishly establish this exception in order to avoid using their resources for caring for their parents. Jesus says this practice, this tradition is in fact dishonoring their parents and a violation of the fifth commandment. And so definitely going to Scripture, addressing a real issue that they have. We see then verses 7 through 9, Jesus accuses the Pharisees of being hypocrites. He says, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You think you're something great, and this is the reality I've just explained. While Jesus could have left things here, and it would have been obvious to the Pharisees that they were sinning to elevate this unbiblical tradition, he goes a step further and classifies them as hypocrites, and then draws on the teaching of Isaiah and says that they are like the ones Isaiah's described. And so again, he's bringing up some scripture that probably other Jews around have heard before. They've not been able to read it for themselves, and all of a sudden they're saying, I remember that. That makes sense. That's not what the Pharisees are teaching. It's important to notice that Jesus backs up what he says with scripture. He does this all the time. He has just confronted them for adding to scripture in their personal applications and does not repeat the same error. He presents scripture from Isaiah. So the portion of scripture that Jesus is referencing is Isaiah 29 and verse 13. They were able to say things that seemed to be respectful toward the Lord and obedient to his teachings, but their heart was not in tune with their teaching. Their worship is in vain because it is coming from an impure heart. They're teaching man's commandments, trying to pass them off as being the teaching of God. We're to have a genuine faith that is focused on the truths actually taught in the Bible, not man's ideas added to it. And so he's definitely addressing them. And again, this is a culture in which many people were easily led astray because they didn't know any better. They couldn't read it for themselves. And so he is pulling out scripture, helping those around to understand. And as we work down through the passage, it's clear Jesus is kind of looking at the Pharisees and saying, yeah, they're a lost cause. But he understands there's others around listening to what he has to say. So we see verses 10 through 20 then. Jesus teaches about the heart condition. And so the Pharisees were so concerned that they look just right before others that they established additional rules, trying to manufacture that desired outcome. Jesus is able to look past the facade. He's able to see the heart. He wants us to really consider our heart condition and whether our heart is in line with his word. It's so easy for us to start thinking like the Pharisees and to start concentrating on the outward and what others see. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to work and change our heart. And so we see verses 10 and 11. What we eat does not bring spiritual harm. Jesus calls the crowd of people together, and he makes a bold statement that would have gotten the attention of his predominantly Jewish group. He says that what they eat does not defile them. All of a sudden, they're like, whoa, this is a little bit too much. You know, they were probably with him up until this point, and now, because we see even his disciples at this point are like, I don't know about this, Jesus. What are you saying here? This does not directly, but rather indirectly, answers the question about hand washing. The Pharisees thought that if they washed their hands before eating, it avoided the defilement that might come from food. Jesus says it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Of course, he's saying what the person says is what defiles them. What someone says reveals where their heart is. Have you ever said, I didn't mean to say that, it just slipped out? Now, there are times where we get tongue-tied, we stumble over our words. I do that all the time, and you all know that. And so that's understandable. But typically when we say something, whether we mean to or not, it's because it's already in our heart. And for a brief moment, we weren't able to keep it in. We said it. That's what happens. That's when our heart comes out. And over time, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can get better at that. Hopefully not better at keeping it in, but better at our heart not thinking those things. But that doesn't come just naturally. That comes as God works in our heart to change our heart. But these Pharisees, they weren't like that. They were put on the right clothing, make yourself look good, and we really don't care about what's going on in the heart. That's where the Pharisees were. And Jesus is saying, that's not the right direction to go. We need to address the heart. And so the Pharisees taught that if you wanted to be right with God, you just needed to keep all kinds of external rules. Jesus is saying instead that to be right with God, your heart needs to be right. How is our heart right? You know, this only happens as we recognize that our own heart is not right. It's only going to come as we first recognize we have a heart problem. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Even if we have broken God's law in only one point, the Bible says we're guilty of all. We are sinners through and through. And the punishment we deserve because of our sin is eternity separated from God in hell. But thankfully, God in His grace sent Jesus to earth to take on human form, to live perfectly keeping the law, and to willingly go to the cross and die sacrificially in our place. He died the just for the unjust in order to bring us to God. Those who recognize their sin and Jesus' payment for their sin, trust His substitutionary death and resurrection as the only hope of being right with God, are redeemed and are then right with God. While this makes us right with God positionally because of Christ, it needs to be a daily habit, relying on the Spirit to direct our steps, to lead us to understand the truth and to apply it in our lives. And so we trust the Holy Spirit to do that work in our heart, to constantly be changing us to be in line with Scripture. The Pharisees, they're just all concerned about the outside. They don't care about the heart. So we see verses 12 to 14. The Pharisees were offended at what they heard. They already had a problem with Jesus. Now they have more of a problem with Him. It didn't get any better as He's talking with them. And so verse 12 comes across almost comical. The disciples go to Jesus and ask Him if He realizes that He's offended the Pharisees. I think He already knew. He got it. They're kind of going to, Master, do you realize what you did? You kind of got us all in a little bit of trouble here. Jesus already knew that. Anything Jesus said or did to the Pharisees is going to offend them. So this is no surprise. In Mark's gospel account, it's even more clear that Jesus is helping them understand that the regulations on food was not needed. This was something that not even the disciples were understanding. Of course, we know Peter had a hard time and even had a great dramatic lesson in Acts chapter 10 to help understand this. And so this was something that they were not grasping themselves. This probably more than anything is what brought offense to the Pharisees. The idea that food is not going to cause harm. Jesus responded to His disciples' concerns with what Peter defines in verse 15 as a parable. Jesus says that every plant that has not been planted by the Father will be rooted up. This likely reminds us and points us back to chapter 13 and the parable of the weeds. God would take care of this. We can so often get caught up with all the wrong theological teaching that's out there. But it's not our responsibility to deal with all these individuals. Jesus doesn't deal with all those individuals. We get caught up with it so often. Those that have not been planted by God or are not ones with genuine saving faith will be rooted up by God. Jesus tells his disciples exactly how they are to handle the Pharisees. He says, let them alone. Just leave them. Don't waste your time. Is this what comes naturally to us? You know, some of us may be ones that we say, you know, we try to avoid conflict at all cost. And so this is, it's real easy to follow Jesus' instructions here. Others may be a little more aggressive, and we want to argue. We want to debate these things. But Jesus says, just leave them alone. He's saying, don't waste your time. He describes them as blind guides. They're blind to the truth of the gospel. They're leading others that are also blind to the truth. They're heading to their own destruction. It's not our responsibility to stop that. Yes, we want to share the gospel. We want to get out there and share it with people as much as we can. But if they're not interested, they're not interested. And we don't need to keep arguing with them. There are ones that are open to hearing the gospel. They're open to learning more about the truths of God's word. So it's futile to push with someone not interested. And I was given some great advice years ago. There's always someone that wants to be discipled. There's always someone that wants to hear what you have to say. So don't waste your time on people that aren't interested. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. This is a teaching opportunity for them because you think they're going to run into a lot of opposition throughout their ministry? Obviously, we've studied through the book of Acts, all kinds of opposition. Well, they share and then they move on. They share and then they move on. And then we get to verses 15 to 20. We see the disciples were finding it hard to understand. So Peter, as a spokesman for the disciples, asked Jesus to explain what he had been saying. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. What he was teaching was so different than the traditions of the Pharisees that they had grown up with, that they had known well. Seems that Jesus here is maybe even a little disappointed with the disciples, since they still did not seem to completely grasp what he's trying to teach them. And so he rephrases what he had said previously by now pointing to the fact that naturally what someone eats goes into the mouth and then is expelled. Of course, he's not saying that all food has the same nutritional value or that it doesn't matter if you eat something that you're allergic to. Of course, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that what you eat does not affect your spiritual condition. They were so caught up with what they ate and the manner in which they ate it. And Jesus says, that's not what's really important. Your heart is. That's what's important. And so Jesus goes on in verse 19 to list areas in which the heart is revealed as being a problem. And so this list, in some ways, seems similar to other lists that we see throughout Scripture of problematic areas. And so as we see that, we're familiar with the terms. It's actually been pointed out by several commentaries that this list that is given is the second half of the Ten Commandments for the most part. And so those commandments of us relating with one another. Of course, he already taught on and brought out the fifth commandment of honor your father and mother. But the others are pretty much the ones that are listed here. The first area that Jesus lists is evil thoughts. I think this is probably to be taken as the most significant and in some ways kind of an overarching type of classification of all the others. All the other things that are listed typically come out of a person's heart by way of action because they had the evil thought to start with. And I heard that years ago that somebody had committed a heinous sin and the person speaking and describing just briefly about this situation said, you know, long before that person committed the sin, it was in their heart. And so that's where we have to go back to. That's what Jesus is going back to. He's saying, look at your heart. And so all those things that he lists out here, you know, we can be tempted to think as long as our actions are okay, then we're fine. But it's wrong thinking that leads to wrong actions. So we need to seek the Holy Spirit's help to implement Paul's teaching from Philippians 4:8, talking about how we're thinking. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so it's not just stop thinking about the things listed here in Matthew, but start thinking about these things. Focus our mind on these things. Again, Jesus reiterates his teaching to end this section by saying that eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man, but the evil of his heart does. I still want to encourage you to wash your hands before you eat, though, especially if they're dirty. But that's not what defiles you. It's the heart. The only cure that the evil of our heart has is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no cure for our heart. It doesn't matter how much you wash your hands. Even if it's to the level of a surgeon getting ready for surgery, it doesn't matter. It's our heart that matters. That's what Jesus is addressing. One commentator said this, Christians today ought to ponder long on the implications of verses 17 to 20. Many churchgoers continue to attend services and activities faithfully, even while indulging without repentance in sexual sin on the side, or even while mistreating fellow Christians with unkind or abusive speech. Such people remain defiled in God's eyes rather than those who violate rules of human origin about how Christians should act. Sadly, the latter are often precisely those who are condemned by their more legalistic brothers and sisters in Christ. Like the Pharisees, the defenders of those rules seem always able to find some scripture that they can twist to offer support for their tradition. Let's not do that. Let's just go back to the Word of God. And a verse that I had here to close with, and it came up in the men's Sunday school class, Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So will you humbly seek God's continued working in your heart? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that as believers, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to confront us when we sin. Lord, we thank you for a church family where we have other believers that will confront us when we sin. Lord, we ask that you would help us to examine our hearts, that you would create that clean heart in us. We know that we are right in your sight because of Christ, but yet we know that there's so much progress that we can make for your glory. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do that in our hearts and lives today. In Christ's name, amen.